Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
All right, 6:12, it's Mueller Day. Before we get to the top six at six, Steve Kozanich in the newsroom. And I want to talk to Steve about our big plan that we're going to have. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Steve.
You and I and John DeCoss had a nice lunch with Mike Adamley yesterday.
Yeah.
Looks great.
It's great to see Mike.
God, he's in great shape.
He's
ridiculous.
He said, I don't think it's a secret, but he said he's about to turn 70.
Yeah.
He looks terrific.
He looks ridiculously good. Yeah. And Super Joe, how are you?
I'm just fine, thanks. How are you?
Okay. How's Mike doing in there? You think he's all right?
He gave the thumbs up, which I think means good.
Yeah.
I'm doing well today.
Okay, a lot of energy in the producer's booth. Yeah, I think we can see that.
They sound unusually mellow.
Really fired up.
Yeah.
Mary, everything all right in Traffic Central?
Yeah.
Do we call it Traffic Central anymore? Probably haven't called it that for years, have we?
I call it. Well, it's the IDOT Traffic Center.
Well, thank you, IDOT, for that.
Yes.
And Steve Kozanich, it's Mueller Day.
Yep, it is Mueller Day.
All right, so here's the problem I have.
And Trump is already tweeting, by the way.
Oh, really? What did he say?
Just saying that, again, no collusion, no obstruction.
That's the first time he said that, isn't it?
It is. And how can they get another bite at the apple? You know, the normal things. How can you go after a very innocent president as well?
Oh, no question.
Very innocent.
I'm so tired of him being picked on. Yeah. So here's my problem with this. If this follows the standard format, there is a lengthy opening statement by the committee chair. In this case, it would be Jerry Nadler. Followed by a lengthy opening statement by the person in the hearing, which would be Mr. Mueller.
Yeah, actually, after Nadler would be the ranking member, probably would also get a chance. So the
who's that, Jordan?
The Republican, probably Jim Jordan. I'm not sure who it is on the judiciary.
I just wish the man could afford a sport coat.
Yeah, so it'll go the Democrat Nadler, then the Republican, and then perhaps.
And then you get Mueller. But right. My point is, I don't think we need to go to this until we get to Mueller's opening statement. Because that's the meat. That's the stuff. That's what we want to hear. Public doesn't want to hear a bunch of yapping politicians. You got to put up with the questions to begin with.
Yeah, and then maybe even just start with the questions. I mean, I don't know how much of an opening statement Mueller's going to have because he's already said he doesn't want to talk about.
Oh, I've got it right here.
Oh, you are. It's already out.
Okay. Yeah, it's out right now. It's, I'm here. You happy now? Yeah. That's his opening statement.
Here's my report.
He holds it up and waves it. So my point is, you know, with all your years of experience, Steve, you're going to need to keep one eye on the news and another eye completely on this so you can decide when we go to Bob Mueller.
Now,
I'm going to wait for your green flag.
Will we have some sort of like music that dun 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 dun, dun, dun let's go to the, will it be one of those kinds of things, or will I just go, hey guys, let's go to the Mueller report?
I like the hey guys report.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe, unless you have some selected music you'd like to pull out.
Geez. I think the hey guys thing is working for me too.
Yeah, the hey guys thing.
So not like an EBS tone or something like that.
So just so the public understands, we're not going to put every chump politician on the air this morning, and we're going to take commercial breaks, and we're going to dip in and out. And we're going to, do the show. But we think this is vitally important because it is. I don't know that any news will be made. I don't know that any minds will be changed. Lord knows I'm open-minded. We'll begin. What time would you say, Steve? 7:30 to 7:45, somewhere in that block?
Something like that is when the opening statements are scheduled to begin. And I'm, you know, I'm of the other camp. I think, television through the years has had, and radio, but television especially, has had the opportunity or had the ability to illuminate stories unlike anything else that is available. So let's say it's whatever story that happens, you know, until you see it on television, until you hear people and see people talking about it, you don't really digest it well enough. And so I'm of the camp that believes if America is watching this today, they're going to see what's in the Mueller report, which, if you've read it, is pretty damning. There's a lot of serious information in there. And if he even just explains a little bit of that, I think that could be potentially damaging to the White House.
Well, listen, I hope you're right about that, because what I would like is a White House that we can believe in that actually is not criminal. I know a boy can dream. But I, to extend on your point, I believe you create the future by illuminating the past. And by that, I mean the presidential reelection run and whoever the Democrats decide to run. This day will be a large amount of fodder for that going forward.
What has become painfully clear, too, is America just doesn't read anymore.
No.
And so I have a feeling that the majority, far majority of people have not read even a few words of the Mueller report.
The estimate is that of the 535 members of Congress, 15 have read the full report.
Yeah. And even the FBI director who was testifying yesterday on various different things, FBI Director Wray, said he hadn't read the entire report either.
And a guy I like, by the way, and I appreciate the fact that he told the truth, but honestly, he didn't get the memo. You don't tell the truth anymore, do you?
Well, I think he had to. He had a lot of truths to tell yesterday, including, you know, Russia is right back at it trying to influence the election next year again. So
wouldn't it be great if we had decided if Russia really was a problem? Cleansing breath, 6:17. Let's take a breath here, and let's have you tell us what else is coming up at 6:30. And we'll come back with the top six right after the break.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, it's Mueller Day. Are you having a big Mueller watch party? What kind of snacks do you bring to your Mueller watch party? Bob Mueller will be testifying, Dave, to two separate congressional committees today. He doesn't want to be there. He's bringing along a friend. Doesn't have to phone a friend. He'll have a friend next to him. And he'll be able to speak on his report if, in fact, he chooses to. And he'll be under oath and have to answer questions, even if they're just yes or no. I tweeted this out last night. Here's a question I want to hear answered. This guy's a Vietnam War hero. This is a guy who's dedicated his entire professional life to serving the country. There's no you can't question his accomplishments in life. The president has called this a witch hunt, has questioned Mueller's integrity, has ripped every institution in the country that is designed and designated to protect us, including the institutions that mean so much to Bob Mueller, and specifically the people that have worked for him for the past 2 years. So, Mr. Mueller, is this a witch hunt? And if it's not a witch hunt, why not? I mean,
seems pretty simple.
That does a couple of things, right? That gives him an opportunity to defend his people, defend the investigation. But in the answer that he gives to defend the investigation, he tamps down the primary yapping point of Donald Trump and his friends. Witch hunt! Witch hunt! Witch hunt!
You know, the president's tweet this morning, he calls it the greatest witch hunt in American history by far. One of his other recent tweets says, so Democrats and others can illegally fabricate a crime by pinning it on a very innocent president when he fights back against this illegal and treasonous attack on our country. They call it obstruction. Wrong. Why didn't Mueller investigate the investigators? That's the most recent tweet from the president.
At least it's not bothering him and he's not worried about it today. Next, Mayor Lori Lightfoot announced a plan to stop suspending driver's licenses for parking tickets, a plan to end the city's practice of taking your driver's license away if you haven't paid your parking tickets. It was a campaign promise and potentially paves a way to end the practice statewide. The hold reforms we're announcing are designed to be the first step in ending that practice of balancing the budget on the backs of those who can least afford it. I would have to say, however, if you don't pay parking tickets, there needs to be a significant penalty for that. Even though the city's been running this situation. Look, I had this happen to me. I had a $100 ticket. I don't think it was a parking ticket now that I think about it, because it was $100. But anyway, I didn't pay it on time. And I remembered the day after it was due, and it doubled. Like a mafioso situation, like a loan shark situation. Now I got to pay the juice. So the fees may be exorbitant, but if there's a significant penalty, aren't you more likely to pay your tickets? I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah, how's this going to stop people from just throwing their tickets off their car?
Yeah, or collecting them,
right.
No, the elimination of the double penalty, though, the double fine, that one's going to be a big one, because for a city sticker, like if, for instance, you don't get your city sticker on time, it's a $200 fine. There had been a provision in it before the mayor did what she did yesterday that would have made it $400 if it was like super duper late. So, you know, all of a sudden, a $100, $120 city sticker becomes $400, $500.
Yeah.
So
it's not good.
No.
But she wants to cap them, right, at $250?
250 is what it'll be right. capped at, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the guy in charge of that is named Knuckles. I think that's part of the problem. Zion Williamson in the news. Grew up in Florence, South Carolina. Selected first overall in the 2019 NBA draft. Quite an athlete, Dave, you tell me.
That's what they say. Our young friend Connor didn't want the Bulls to draft him if they had a chance at him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the New Orleans Pelicans who did draft him. Number one pick.
Michael Jordan made a little extra money yesterday because Zion Williamson is now a member of the Jordan brand at Nike.
And Zion Williamson made a little extra money, too, like $75 million.
That's pretty good.
Over 7 years. And by the way, he's going to be in Chicago for the first time as a player, as a pro, I should say, with the Pelicans in a preseason game in October against the Bulls. Okay. So he'll be wearing those new Jordan brand shoes.
Are they guaranteed not to blow out? Remember, he's got a thing where he blows out his sneakers.
Yeah, I think he has to feel pretty comfortable in these. At least, hey, if they do, at least he's got the money to console him.
Congress sucks, but here's the thing. They did something yesterday beyond when they should have done it, but they deserve credit for finally doing it. The 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund has been extended for 70 years. Now, we won't be around to see the next time they have to argue about this. But the Senate has approved a bill that will ensure the 9/11 Victims Fund never runs out of money. The people that worked the pile, the people that went in and risked their own lives to try to save lives of others because we didn't know if there were survivors, the people that went in our worst days after our worst day to do the right thing, who have now regularly died of cancer and have regularly had to go to Washington to talk to numbnuts like Mitch McConnell and to try to get them to stop talking about how busy they are and to treat this with the respect it deserves as people on their last days of life would go to Washington to fight for what so obviously needs to be done. John Stewart was a big part of this. John Stewart deserves a lot of credit. But the men and women who served and worked that pile, they will now get the appropriate funding they deserve. Nobody's getting it. This isn't vacation money. This isn't gambling money. This isn't new car money. This is live your life money. This is pay for your cancer treatments money. And Congress finally got it done.
Does it ever seem to you like it's just the fact we're even having to have this conversation?
It's just insane. Yeah. And it's so typical and such a symbolic point on what Congress doesn't do. Next. This will shock you. Live Nation may have pulled a scam. Remember the $500 you spent to see Taylor Swift? Well, it looks like Live Nation has been basically having a card up their sleeve. The entertainment company has admitted to putting tickets straight on the resale market. Many of the tickets would hit the resale market before the public even had a chance to buy them. Does this surprise anybody?
Wait a minute. You only had to pay $500 to see Taylor Swift?
Yeah, so Live Nation, who sells the tickets,
right,
would take the tickets and put them on the resale market, and therefore they'd be marked up over ticket price.
Hmm. That doesn't sound fair.
No, it really doesn't.
And I think there's also the $98 convenience fee or whatever the hell it is. Next, if you didn't get a chance to storm Area 51, please join us as we storm Loch Ness.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
On Facebook, 21,000 people have RSVP'd for an event called Storm Loch Ness. Nessie can't hide from us.
Let's drain it.
The Loch Ness is one of the largest bodies of water in the British Isles. 22 miles long, 750 feet deep, and supposedly Nessie is in there somewhere. And there are some people who are going to find him, and Steve will join us.
So you have 2 million people who signed up to storm Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get all those people, take them over to Loch Ness, put them in the water, and just start feeling around.
Well, that would definitely work. Right. It would save money, and it could be a Steve Bertrand trip.
Right, it could be.
Bertrand Travel sends you to Storm Loch Ness.
I'd go with him.
But Nessie's a girl, right?
We don't know.
We don't know that.
Well, you called it a he, but Nessie.
Well, you got to flip Nessie over and see. We don't know. We're not sure.
Might take an army to do that.
That's your top six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
.641, the Steve Cochran Show continues. About an hour from now, we'll have live coverage of whatever Bob Mueller says or doesn't say. Mueller Day. Hope you got enough dip made with chips for your big Mueller watch party. In studio right now, a guy who many of you will know by name, and some of you won't, but he is literally one of the main people to support, promote, and fund the Chicago music scene, because he has no problem running up to rich people and going, we're going to need a few bucks. Jim, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing?
Nice to see you. One of Chicago's top advocates for the arts for so many years, stepping down finally as CEO of the Chicago Sinfonietta. But what was the Old Town School of Folk Music start for you?
Well, you know, it was a really interesting part of my my journey. I was actually teaching at Old Town School. And
what were you teaching?
Well, I was a guitarist mainly, but I played a few other instruments as well. And I was there at a time when they were looking to do a leadership change, and I had been actually doing some administrative work up in the Evanston branch, and they offered me the position of executive director at the age of 28. Which,
it's a big job.
Yeah, it seems like a cool thing, but at the time, the organization was kind of on life support. And so what I didn't know completely was the depth of the turnaround that was required. But thanks to the work of many very dedicated teachers and board members and donors, we were able to actually turn it around. And Old Town now is, I believe, the largest organization of its kind in the country and possibly in the world.
My three-and-a-half-year-old granddaughter is a student at Old Town.
A wiggle worm, right?
Well, if you believe that to be the case. I mean, how do you know she's not some sort of prodigy? She's a wiggle worm. She loves it. Loves it. And your folks do a nice job with little kids, too, because that's where the love starts for music, right?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we, I think, helped really bring to the fore, especially in the Chicagoland area, was the idea of exposing very, very young children, as young as 6 months old, to music. And what we know now from a lot of research is that when you expose your child to music, their academic outcomes, their ability to, you know, their brain development is really enhanced in ways that nobody really understood before.
Sure. Yeah.
It's called the Mozart effect.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've heard for forever pregnant moms ought to be playing music on their bellies, right? To let that baby listen. Now, you also manage a Chicago theater. You have come across every diva in show business. Give me a good story.
Well, one of my favorite stories was the New Year's Eve night when we presented Aretha Franklin. And
Franklin.
Yes. The thing that was interesting about Aretha is that she didn't use a tour manager, so she did all of the financial settlement herself. And as the theater manager, I found myself in a little broom closet about
negotiating?
Not negotiating, with a stack of $100 bills where we settled the show before she went on stage. So there was $165,000 in cash on the table that I'm counting with her to make sure that we had exactly
in a closet.
In a closet, and then she then proceeded to take the $165,000, stuff it in a giant purse, and took it on stage with her.
Well, you tell me if I'm right about this. I believe that comes from her generation knowing how music moguls had stolen money, particularly from black artists. And club folks as well, and she's going to get her cash, man. She's going to get paid.
Yeah, she was definitely going to get paid. And for me, it was like one of those really weird moments in your life where you're sitting there like 3 feet away from the greatest, you know, soul singer who's ever lived, and you're thinking, how did I get here? It was such a fun part of
you know who else was all cash? Jerry Seinfeld. In the 80s, I did stand up with Jerry Seinfeld a few times, and before he was Jerry Seinfeld. He was just Jerry Seinfeld then. He was a cash guy because comedy club owners were a little shady. And he would close out on a Friday night and he'd be sitting at the desk. But that was a desk in a room. It wasn't a closet with Aretha.
And it probably
counting
wasn't.
Counting out $3,000 or $4,000.
Yeah, and it wasn't $165,000.
Now, when did you realize that you had the ability to raise money?
Well, went back in the Old Town days is when I really started, you know.
But you're a kid. You're going out asking for folks for money who are older than you. That's not easy.
Well, you know, so here's the way I always felt about it, and to this day I still feel about it, which is I never ask people for money. What I do is I offer people an opportunity to invest in something that is inherently valuable to our community. And when I ask people for money for Old Town School of Folk Music or nowadays for Chicago Sinfonietta, which is an amazing, unique, and important institution. You know, I don't have any, you know, queasiness about it because I know that these organizations, you know, deliver on the value proposition, that they make this city a better place to live, and they help our society. So you know,
so you present what the opportunity is, and if you'd like to help, certainly we'd like your help. That
yes.
kind of thing.
And I would invite all of the listeners of WGN to help the Chicago Symphonietta right now by showing up to our concerts and writing huge checks.
40 years into this, that's some big shoes to fill. Who gets to basically go into the position you went into at the Old Town School at 28? Who gets to follow you regardless of their age and pick this ball up and run with it?
Well, so at Chicago Symphonietta, I will be stepping down at the end of the 2019-2020 season. So it's mm-hmm. a little bit less than a year from now. And the board of directors will engage in a process of identifying a you know, who my successor will be. There's an incredibly strong internal candidate that they should consider. There are probably also external candidates that they'll look at. And we'll see. They haven't really started the process yet. And so I think that there's a ways to go on it. But what I do know is that this organization is valuable. I'm sure that they'll pick a very talented person. And they'll take it in some new directions that will be
make really, it bigger.
Yeah, I hope so. You know,
yeah.
What you always
that's
hope
a good
is,
attitude, huh?
is to leave the place better than where you found it. And I'm relatively confident that that will be the case.
Dave, if I leave at the end of this contract, will it be better than I found it or worse?
Oh, I think it will be better.
Still out for really judgment, though, at that point, don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
Probably depends on the texture.
I think so.
Jim Hirsch is here. Favorite stories you like to tell people at a summer barbecue about all these years in music in Chicago?
Well, I mean, it's really, in many ways, like the people who I've met and the people who I've mm-hmm. worked with that really make all the part of my journey so special.
It'll, well, it's tough to top Aretha in the Closet with 165K, but there's got to be a couple of them.
Well, there's a couple. I mean, another story was when we opened the new Old Town School up in Lincoln Square. Mm-hmm. We hired Joni Mitchell to play the first concert for donors, and we actually chartered a private jet for Joni so that she could fly in from the West Coast, and she's a very dyed-in-the-wool cigarette smoker, so she needed a private jet so that she could smoke on the way here. And then she got here, and she was playing her set, and one of our donors actually yawned because he had been up since 4 o'clock in the morning because he was a big-time investment guy.
And she saw the yawn.
And she saw the yawn, and she stormed off stage because she was like,
wow. Really?
And then she wrote on the wall of the green room, "Wake up, Chicago, you know, stay awake for the music," or something like that.
Wow. Sensitive little one, isn't she?
Yeah, but she was wonderful. She felt bad about kind of losing it, so she spent hours with our donors.
Oh, she
after,
did.
And
oh,
she
that's
was
good.
She
that's
couldn't
good.
Have been more charming.
That's
I mean,
good.
You know, she's an artist. And
who surprised you, if someone you've worked with or encountered that you thought, well, this could be trouble, and they turned out to be delightful?
The person who absolutely struck me as one of the best people I've ever met was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
When I was at the Chicago Theater, we hosted his first stand-up comedy tour in 15 years, the very first performance. And he was walking around the theater, and he was saying, "Jim, if they ever want to tear this thing down, you call me. I'll come and do a benefit for you."
Yeah.
And then after the show, it was March, the wind chill was probably 10 degrees above zero.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the show, he walked outside into the alley and signed autographs for 90 minutes with no security around whatsoever for everyone who asked him. He was an amazingly, you know,
I only met him a couple times, but everybody
man.
I know who knows him well says the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was such a sad thing at the end that he decided that he just couldn't push forward. But that's part of the crippling part of depression that we need to come to terms with in this country as well.
Yeah, and the other person who I met through Symphonietta who, again, I think is just one of the best human beings on the planet is Yo-Yo Ma.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's good because I love cello.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always room for cello.
Right?
Sorry.
It is some of the most beautiful music you can hear.
Yeah, and he's not only a brilliant artist, but a humanitarian and a brilliant human being.
And off the air, you'll tell me all the stuff you can't say publicly.
Well, there's nothing bad to say about him.
No, not Yo-Yo Ma in general.
Yeah. There's a few, you know, kind of negative stories, but I'll save those for my memoir.
But after 40 years of this, in balance, you know, the reason your attitude is so great is not just because your attitude's great. It's because you've had a wonderful career.
I consider myself one of the luckiest people to have spent my entire professional life doing work that I am intensely passionate about.
Right.
You know, I never felt like I was going into work. It's always been a calling. And it's one of the great gifts, you know, that I've had. And, you know, the Sinfonietta has been a continuation of that because this is an organization that fights for diversity, equity, and inclusion in a field that might be the most segregated of all the arts.
Very good point.
And, you know, to have been able to be a part of giving opportunities to people who are not represented has been one of the great joys of my life. And people can actually see that for themselves. On September 21st, we're going to be doing the Chicago premiere of Jordan Peele's Get Out.
I'm trying to figure out how this is going to work. I mean, after seeing the movie. How are you doing this on stage?
So there will be a live symphony orchestra on stage, Chicago Sinfonietta,
right.
Six singers. It will be conducted by the man who wrote the score, Michael Abels.
But you promised me off air no murders.
Well, I mean, they're going to project the movie, you know, so whatever happens on screen is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it'll be a completely different and much more immersive experience because, you know, it'll all be kind of happening live on
Creatively,
stage.
That's pretty difficult to pull off, isn't it?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, we're a pretty good
walking
band.
Walking a tightrope. Yeah, you are a pretty good band. Yeah,
yeah, so I'm pretty confident that it's going to be a great evening.
Well, listen, we're all blessed in the Chicago creative community, if that's the right umbrella to put us all under, to do the jobs we do. I mean, I don't know about your family, but I saw my dad go to work every day as a mechanical engineer and a machinist. And you know, I've seen people my whole life who actually work real jobs. And the beauty of this place and the legacy of WGN is no different than the Chicago music scene. It's important, and we're lucky to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And interestingly, the first job that I ever had as executive director of Old Town School of Folk Music, the chair of the board was actually a WGN
A boss?
Employee. He was an executive, and he was the person who hired me. So I have a very, very warm spot in my heart for...
And I understand your first GN appearance was Roy?
Yeah, yeah, Roy. Well, and the funny thing is, I was once on Bozo Circus as a performer. So another very, very bizarre.
Did you get to play the bucket game? What's the bucket game called, Dave?
A grand prize game.
Grand prize. No, they wouldn't let me do that, but they did let me play my guitar and sang a couple of songs, you know, and the children all went into comas or something.
Did you bring your big shoes? Clown shoes?
No.
That, just wore your regular people shoes?
Bozo's contract forbid anybody else from wearing
And then 10 minutes later, he's in a closet with Bozo with 165 in cash. Great to see you. Thank you for the work you've done.
Thank you so much.
I know
much.
It's not going to end. You're not the type of guy that's going to go off and just go fishing.
Nope.
You're always going to be involved, but thank you for that.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to share some of these stories with you and the audience, and I hope people will come and check out Chicago Sinfonietta, an amazing orchestra.
For tickets for Get Out, what do they do?
So they can just go on either our website or the Auditorium Theater, which is our partner in presenting mm-hmm. this. And tickets are on sale now, so it's going to be a super cool night. So check it out.
Maybe we bring Jim back to set the Mueller hearings to music in some way.
Would be kind of interesting.
Right. Could keep more of America
Jim doesn't
involved.
Seem real interested in doing that.
No, I would love to do that. I could do sort of a Steve Goodman-esque, you know, go Cubs go moment.
Right?
Go Mueller go, you know.
Nice to see you, my friend.
Thanks.
I just talked to Mary in the hallway, and I scared her because I shouted out, "How's your butt?"
Why?
That's a fair question. She fell on her vacation.
Right. She
yes,
did tell us.
I did.
And you were telling us yesterday that you believe you may have bruised your butt bone.
Yes. I don't want to say the medical term for that.
It can always sound wrong.
I can never say it properly.
It rhymes with schmosix.
Yes, exactly.
Can a doctor do anything? I don't know how you would cast that. That'd be a weird cast to wear, wouldn't it?
No, they can't do anything for it, whether it's broken or not. And I was going to go to the doctor yesterday. It's been a week, and it's still pretty painful. Mm-hmm. But I got my little pillow in here. You know, my pillow with the hole in it.
Yeah. You usually use for a different problem.
Yes, exactly. So I'm sitting with that and...
Well, feel free to stand up at any time because I know you're uncomfortable.
Yeah, I kind of have been, but I think it's getting better, but I don't know. Every day it feels different, so...
Well, Dr. Moe's come down take care of this as a house call.
Yeah. But thanks for asking.
Of course. 6:59, we'll come back in a moment in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is right now.
They call him Brent Trump, and people are saying that's a good thing. That they like me over there. That's what they wanted. That's what they need. It's what they need. He'll get it done. Boris is good. He's going to do a good job.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Having a cool accent doesn't make you smart, apparently. It's the Brits have somehow put Boris Johnson, the failed mayor of the city of London, in the position of being the prime minister of the UK. Telling you what, based on the last, you know, 2-3 years, if you suck at your job, there's a bright future ahead. We're going to go to Paul Coit in just a second on this. The president tweeting a lot this morning. Here's one of my favorites so far. It was never agreed that Robert Mueller could use one of his many Democrat, never-Trumper lawyers to sit next to him and help him with his answers. This was specifically not agreed to, and I would never have agreed to it. Greatest witch hunt in U.S. history so far. He doesn't get it. The courts decide. He's not in charge of the courts. Congress is a co-equal branch. He doesn't get to decide. And Mueller, after 2.5 years, is bringing in someone ostensibly to make sure that he answers the questions truthfully and accurately. Oh, you know what? That's the problem. Truth and accuracy. That's the part that's throwing the president off. I apologize. Clearly, it's me. Let's go live to London, where my friend Paul Coit is standing by. Good morning to me, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon and good morning. How are you?
What is wrong with you people? How did this happen?
You know, I think it's something to do with the heat. You know, we're in this crunky heat wave. It's probably the hottest it's ever been here, and I think it's just gone to everybody's heads. We've all gone crazy. I say we've gone crazy. Essentially, the Conservative Party and I decide who the new leader of the party will be, which therefore means the new Prime Minister will be, and it's Boris Johnson.
I remember being in London with you, and when Boris Johnson was mayor, and at that point you were talking about what a goofball this guy is. I sure hope he doesn't stay in politics. Now he's in charge of the whole thing.
Yeah, didn't we have that conversation about when I was over in your country with a similar thing? It just kind of rings a bell.
Yeah.
What's going on? I don't know. It's you know, cynics would say, and as you know, Steve, I'm not one of those people.
No.
The whole Brexit thing has come about through Boris Johnson because he pushed for it and then started selling all this stuff about why Britain's got to get out of Europe is that, you know, the hospitals will get so much more money and, you know, they're ripping us off. So then that's worked. So he's gone through there. Then he's decided that, no, he's not going to be Foreign Secretary anymore, that maybe he won't. And no, there's no chance I'll run for Prime Minister. You know, when you kind of smell a rat early on and it comes to pass, you know, obviously me not being that sick would ever say such a thing. But, my goodness, it's come to pass, my friend.
Do I understand this correctly? You, the people, elect members of Parliament, and then members of Parliament elect the Prime Minister. Is that right?
No, not necessarily. What you have to be is the leader of your party first. So the main parties would be the Liberal Democrats. These are the big three, the Labour Party and the Conservative Party. So you vote for your local member of parliament.
But
the leader of that party is the one that will then represent the party and therefore be the prime minister. So is this like explaining the rules of cricket again? I think it probably is.
It kind of is, yeah, so, because here in this country, it's like me trying to explain the Electoral College to you.
Exactly. I've tried that for ages. Doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But basically, to cut a very long story short, when Theresa May decided to stand down, it's only down to people who are members of the Conservative Party to decide who the next leader of that party will be. So it's only like about 90,000, 150,000, something like that. And then whoever the leader of the party is automatically become prime minister because the Conservative Party have the most number of seats.
This is your Electoral College. I mean, this is there were about 70,000 votes in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and what am I forgetting? Oh, Michigan. Or, I'm sorry, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. There are about 70,000 votes that determined that Donald Trump would be president. You're talking about just a few more that have now made Boris Johnson the leader of the UK.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to, at least we know that the leaders of our party, at least of our country, are at least going to get on well. You know, at least they'll have a nice time hanging out together, I imagine. So that's one thing which is nice. At least it's bringing our countries closer together. For what? I'm not sure, but I think there's going to be something out of it.
Well, listen, I've told you this before when we've talked about Trump. I give Trump all the credit in the world for being exactly who he's always been, which is a horrible person.
Yeah.
That's who he's been his entire life. That's who he's been for the last 35, 40 years of being a public person. We don't know anything about Boris Johnson other than a bad haircut. What makes him bad for this job?
I think probably his haircut's a good place to start. It's that bumbling demeanor. You know, is there anything behind the bumbling? I don't even know whether it is charm. I'm not really sure. But there's obviously some sort of, you know, you've got to have something to actually get into that position. And what that is, I'm really still not too sure. But the fact is, he is going to be our prime minister. So therefore, I'm going to put a bill into Parliament that the actual Queen and the Crown actually get the power that they used to have back in the 1600s. So therefore, she will then be in charge of everything, because I think that's probably going to be our best bet.
Well, it seems like she's still got it going on, man. 92, 93, 94, whatever she is. Yeah. Seems like she's getting it done.
Yeah, it's been said. She has still got it. Yeah, she's still got it going on. It's not the phrase that I would use, but yeah, she has. And that's fair enough. She still has to pass any bill that goes through Parliament. It has to go to the Queen just to sign it off. So maybe, whereas it was just a ceremonial role, maybe it's time for her to start saying, actually, you know what? I don't want to look at this. I'm not going to sign this. So she has to approve. Firstly, Theresa May has to go to see her and go to Buckingham Palace and actually resign officially. And then Boris Johnson has to be approved by the Queen. It's all ceremonial.
So she could say no. Yeah, she could say no. So I didn't know that. So Theresa May has to do an exit interview.
Absolutely, with the Queen, and the Queen has to say, okay, that's fine. But if the Queen says, you know what, I want you to stick around, you're not going anywhere, Mrs., you can come around here, giving it all that sub story, you stay where you are, then that's exactly what will have to happen.
So Theresa May sits there, and the Queen says, can you tell me why you're leaving the company? And then she has to talk about what happened?
That's exactly what it is. So tell me why you're leaving, and let's talk about your severance pay. And it's the Queen that will then offer that. It'll probably be like, it's often like, you can have one of the corgi puppies, a couple of million quid, a little bit of jewelry, and off you go. And then that's the end of it.
Is there a chance Theresa May will ask the Queen for a letter of reference?
You know what? There is a very good chance. So I'd say watch out over there, because that's where she's headed. So she's on her way to you, because if the reference is good, you know where she's coming.
Is Boris Johnson believed to be criminal at all? Is there anything that shady, or is it mostly just he's not a bright guy?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's anything criminal that's come out yet. So we will see. But there's nothing too shady or criminal about him. So let's look at the bright side here.
You know, I like your attitude, because I don't have it. The thing that people need to be aware of is that this is a second reflection now, and it's not just going on in the UK and the United States. Politicians will always say anything to get elected, but when politicians say, and that's not just Trump and Boris Johnson, but when politicians say stuff that is just patent lies and provable lies at the time of a lie, and people don't listen, in the case of Boris Johnson, that Brexit's a good thing, there's not a lot you can do about it.
You know, there's still a lot of people that actually do feel that Brexit is a good thing. You know, they're still behind that. And then they're the ones that are going, yeah, well, the majority voted, therefore it has to go through. Whereas, I'll be honest with you, I think there's a lot of people here, probably, and I personally think there's a hell of a lot of people that, what if they had their time again, would go, ah, you know what, I realized that. You know, there are all these facts being thrown around, which are, you know, loose facts, that were the reason we must get out of Europe. And I think there's a lot of people I don't really buy that anymore. You know, I was pretty much sold on this promise. But then again, isn't that politics altogether, Steve? Isn't that what it's all about?
The day after Brexit was voted, I talked to you, and you said the majority of the people that voted for Brexit in this country thought it was a test vote, thought it was a non-binding referendum.
I think there's, I don't know whether that's, whoever said that to you, me, actually was completely correct there, but I would never trust a word he says, but I do think that people do think differently about it years on from when it was done, and Boris Johnson is saying, well, I'm going to deliver Brexit in 99 days, it's definitely going to happen, whatever happens, so let's see whether he can, exactly how good it's going to be for this country, because I don't know.
Texter says, Boris is stupid like a fox. He graduated from the top high school in England and also from Oxford. It's all a front that he's a bumbling fool.
Yeah, could be. I mean, there's something going on there. He knew what he was doing. I'm sure there was a master plan that was going on there. I think he does like to give the impression of a bumbling fool, but exactly, you know, how much goodness and smart there is behind that, well, again, is yet to see. But dear, oh dear. So he's coming in. He's gonna have the hat, Steve. As you would say, if he's next to the Queen, he's got the hat, and that's gonna happen within the next week or so. That's so he is Prime Minister in waiting.
We've been wondering for 30 years when Chuck would get the hat. Turns out Boris is gonna get the hat, and based on that haircut, Boris, he needs one.
Absolutely, yeah. He's gonna wear a big hat to fit over that hair.
Thank you for the informative report. It's our friend Paul Coit, live from London. Paul Coit, the most important personality on radio throughout the UK.
Thank you.
You can hear him in the middle of the night, our time, on TalkSport 2. TalkSport 2, midnight to 4 a.m. And at some point, they'll actually, throw podcasts up where you can hear it at a decent hour. Thank you, buddy.
Pleasure. Have a lovely day.
That's Paul Coit. You know, Paul was actually sort of informative there.
He was, yeah.
Normally, that's not his role. The whole world's changed, Dave. It's just not what it used to be.
No, it's not.
I'm getting actual information from Paul Coit.
Yeah, what'll they think of next?
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
5 years ago, I went to the top of the Tribune Tower, sat out on the beautiful deck there that used to exist, and had Andrea Darlis dump a bucket of ice water on my head. The Ice Bucket Challenge, started by three men living with ALS, collected $164 million for organizations in the International Alliance of ALS, MND Associations, and in Chicago, $1 million alone. Andrea Pauls Backman is the CEO of the Les Turner ALS Foundation and joins me now as the most valuable person on the planet. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I've dried off. I mean, it was 5 years ago. It took a while, but it was a shock that was worthwhile.
Glad to hear it.
You have a personal tie to this, right? I mean, aside from the fact that it's your job.
I do. I lost my mother to ALS almost 10 years ago, and it was a dramatic event in my life and caused me to find a new passion. And I'm delighted that I'm able to do the work that we do with the Les Turner ALS Foundation and help thousands of people living with ALS every day.
It's sort of unfair to quantify this, but I believe ALS is about as cruel a disease as you can have, and you speak eloquently about the courage you see in ALS victims.
That's absolutely true. ALS, if your listeners don't know, is a terminal neurodegenerative disease. Most people live typically about 3 to 5 years. Of course, we have outliers. We have people who've lived for decades with ALS. A few, and we've had people who have lived for months with ALS. It's a very difficult disease, and we at the Les Turner ALS Foundation are here to help them confidently navigate this journey.
Well, I thank you for the work you're doing. I know you understand because of the Mueller hearing this morning, we're a little tight on time, but here we are 5 years down the road. How do we help now?
Well, the trick with the Ice Bucket Challenge was to keep that energy sustainable.
Right.
So it allowed us at the Les Turner ALS Foundation to create the Les Turner ALS Center at Northwestern Medicine, where we combine all of our ALS research work with our ALS clinic that has been there for decades under one umbrella so that we can truly create translational research that will help people today.
I thank you again, not just for your family, not just for you personally, but for all the people that work for you and everybody at the Les Turner ALS Foundation. And please continue to give, folks. The battle continues. And my hope is that in Andrea, in your lifetime, my lifetime, that we're going to see a cure.
Thank you, Steve. Your listeners can find out more at lesturnerals.org. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Thanks for being the most valuable person on the planet. Robert Mueller is finding a comfortable seat. Steve will be back with the news next, 720 WGN.
I'm Steve Krasanich in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And you're going to join it right now as the conversation continues to change, largely going the way we would expect it to have gone so far. Mueller is speaking in more than yes and no answers, the Democrats are trying to get at what they believe the heart of the report to be, and that's the president's potential crimes. The Republicans are, amongst other things, trying to show that Mueller didn't have his act together and that his actions may have been questionable in the biggest of pictures. There's a good texture here, Steve. There was a question before the news that tried to contradict Mueller's written words in the report with his statement answer to a question about being synonymous. And the texter points out synonymous and largely synonymous are not legally the same thing, and goes on a little longer, but an eloquently written text. It comes down to the same thing. I would love every one of these members, Democrats and Republicans, to have to declare before they ask their question if they read the report. Again, we believe that maybe 15 members of the 535 members of the House and Senate have. But to ask pointed questions and to get on their respective high horses and take a tone with the guy that did the report without reading the report, to me, is again an example of what's wrong with the entire system. I mean, are you seeing something I'm not seeing?
No, that's about the right, Steve. And, you know, the question you were talking about, it would have been nice to hear Robert Mueller be able to respond to that. And he was not given the opportunity to. But again, this is the format. You have 5 minutes for questions and answers, and then it's over and you move on to the next person. And that's really not a good format, I don't think, for getting full answers from people.
We have the news coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Jeremy Carlton from the Blackhawks, and then more dipping in and out of this. As you said before, you can see what the pattern is here, back and forth. Though Mueller is saying much more than yes and no answers, and I think that's important. At 8:28, here's that break I mentioned on 720 WGN.
I'm Steve Krasanich in the WGN newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
You know, Steve, the thing that I think is important here, and the thing that I don't know if striking is the right word, but Mueller is very careful in his answers. The both sides of the aisle are having to repeat several questions because he wants to refer to the facts and stick to his promise of what's in the report. What have you been seeing in the breaks that I haven't?
Well, as we were just having the newscast and doing sports, he's been questioned by the Democrats about the potential obstruction acts. And one of those obstruction acts that he was just questioned on for a few minutes was, did the president try to fire you? The answer from Mueller, yes. The president apparently called Don McGahn twice, one including one time at home, to order him to fire the special counsel. The second time, again, to fire the special counsel, McGahn refused. So that line of questioning has been pretty solid about whether or not that constituted an obstruction of justice. And Mueller has told the House committee that that, in his mind, did.
And again, this is all in the report, which is why we constantly say read the report. It's a commitment. It's 448 pages, but it's well worth your time. And every grown up in the country ought to read it. And certainly every member of Congress. We're going to break here with Coach Colleton for a couple of minutes and talk a little hockey. Don't forget WGNRadio.com for the full Mueller fistfight. And we will get more of that, too, before we are done. As Coach Colleton joins us now, just a couple days short of convention. Coach, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. Sorry to break up the fun.
Yeah, we're stuck in the corner, and there's a Canadian pounding on us. It's kind of that kind of feel. How's your summer?
It's going well. Thanks a lot. You guys having a good one yourself?
Yeah, we're doing fine. What are you doing with the kids? Anything fun?
Yeah, a couple lake days and back to Calgary for a little bit to spend some time with family and friends and whatnot. So it's been good.
A lot of new faces this year for the convention and a couple of significant adds on the backside of things, a defenseman and another A-line goalie. I assume you're excited.
Yeah, we've definitely made some changes, and I think everyone's really excited about our roster. We got depth everywhere at every position, and there's going to be a lot of competition for roles and spot on the roster and ice time. So that's the situation you want to be in if you want to have a winning team.
Jeremy went through development camp last week. Were there guys that you saw there that you look at them and you think, hey, they're ready, or at least they're close to being ready?
Well, it was an exciting week for sure. This is my third year with the organization, and it's the best camp that I've been part of as far as the quality of players we had, both top end, but also depth, a number of guys who have a chance to play. I think I don't want to say too much about how guys are looking coming into the season. It's summer camp, and so there's everyone's at a different spot in their summer as far as how much they've skated or how much time off they've had, or it's I don't think you should draw too many conclusions, but definitely the guys that you would expect to be high end. They lived up to all that. I mean, Doc was very impressive. I thought Bokas was excellent. I don't want to leave anyone out. So I will say that we had a lot of top end guys, and it was fun to see.
Once you get into regular training camp, which is kind of a sprint compared to the other sports, there's always a surprise or two that pops out. And we know Kirby Doc's probably not ready to go this fast, but he's an impressive kid, and we spent some time with him here after the draft. As we press forward into convention, this is your first convention as head coach. You ready?
Yeah, of course. It's fun. I love talking hockey, and certainly I've been to the convention before, so kind of know what I'm going into, and it's fun. It's a great opportunity for the fans to meet people and players and coaches, and I think everyone's excited about the upcoming year, so it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, and a lot of proud Indian head wearing fans who are looking forward to getting back, because I tell you what, Coach, I know you know this, but these games aren't played on paper, but if they were, Dave Ennett, we'd already have won the division. That's how many changes were made this summer.
Oh, boy.
So don't jump to too many conclusions. We've got to play a few games first.
You made a lot of changes also with your coaching staff. Mark Crawford, a recent addition to your staff. How much time have you guys been able to spend together and just kind of meshing as a unit yourselves?
Yeah, so with Mark, he came in for a couple of days before, like during the interview process, and so that was really good. I got a lot of one-on-one time, and really enjoyed that. And I guess that's part of what I was looking for when we brought him on, is to have that time with him, and he's got so much experience and had so much success that that's exciting for me to have him part of the staff. Obviously, we had development camp last week, so that was another opportunity to spend some time with everyone. And then this week, again, we have the whole staff in. So we'll be using the time to have some meetings and talk about our team and how we're going to play and training camp and all those things. So looking forward to that.
Opening ceremonies, we'll carry them live starting Friday at 5, and you and I, Dave, will do those opening ceremonies on the radio. Then we'll kick it to Master of Ceremonies, Eddie Olczyk. Handsome guy, full head of hair. I don't know if you know Eddie.
That's what we're
he will do his typical great job, and then we're off and running for the weekend and the convention. Everybody you'd ever want at a Blackhawks convention will be there, including the ambassadors. You know, Chelios is everywhere now as an ambassador. I think it's time we drop our anger about the Red Wings thing. He's a Blackhawk, people. He's back. And there is still a limited number of weekend hotel packages. And if you have weekend hotel packages, you're guaranteed to get into autograph sessions that other folks won't necessarily have access to. But weekend and single day passes are available as well in the few that are left. Blackhawks.com/convention. Dave Ennett, you get the last question of the coach.
All right, what's the biggest question you expect to get, or the most frequent question you expect to get this weekend, or that you're bracing for?
I don't really brace for any questions. Just, like I said, enjoy talking hockey, and probably, I guess, would be the expectations. We made a lot of changes, and how do we see things shaking out? And I guess I can answer it now. Like, we're really excited. We think we have a good team. We finished, trending in the right direction. At the same time, we got a lot of work to do to make sure we start on time and have a good start, and hopefully set ourselves up to have a lot of success in the playoffs.
You know, you're a cool guy, you're a laid back guy, but it's kind of hard not to get ahead of yourself a little bit with the look of this team.
Well, that's what the fans are for. That's their job, is to look ahead and get excited, and we're excited too. But there's a lot of work to do.
That's what we're for, Steve.
Right. Well, let me just tell you, Coach. I don't know if you know this. You got to play them one game at a time.
That's good.
You guys are good at this.
Yeah, I'm here to help. I look forward to the season with you again, Coach, and we'll see you this weekend.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. That's Coach Jeremy Carlton, the coach of your Chicago Blackhawks. And by the way, a guy who spent a lot of time on this show, a guy you might be familiar with, a guy with a very impressive mustache back in the league, Coach Q's in Florida.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to see a lot of him,
No, no.
But I'm sure he's going to smack that team around a little bit and get them into shape, too.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of good storylines this year.
Yeah.
Hawks going after the defending Stanley Cup champs in their division. That kind of heats up that rivalry now.
And I don't think we should get the cup right away. Let's wait 2 weeks.
That seems fair.
Yeah, let's get through the Prague trip, and then we'll get
there. Well, and again, they're honoring the 10th year anniversary of the 2010 Stanley Cup champs this weekend at the convention. So Jeremy Colliton would have been 24 when the Hawks won that cup.
And still playing.
Yeah.
So, all right, it's 8:46. We're going to dip back into the Mueller hearing in just a second. Stand by for that.
We did not address collusion, which is not a legal term. Rather, we focused on whether the evidence was sufficient to charge any member of the campaign with taking part in a criminal conspiracy, and it was not.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's a little bit of earlier Bob Mueller. The Mueller hearing is on and uninterrupted at WGNradio.com. Steve, on Twitter, not much from Trump yet, but there have been many references to an apparent assumption of a health issue with Bob Mueller. I would say, to me, it looks like nothing more than an older guy who doesn't hear the way he used to.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that. He is struggling, I think, to hear questions. He's also struggling with the microphone in front of him, and has been told several times to put the microphone in front of him because it's one of those microphones that doesn't pick up much around it unless you're right
in it.
Right. There have been a couple of other developments, too, while we were in the Blackhawks interview, Steve. The Republicans asked Mueller directly about the Peter Strzok incident. Remember the FBI agent and the text messages? About whether or not Mueller knew beforehand that those text messages were out. As a matter of fact, Congressman Gohmert, the Republican, asked Mueller, so Peter Strzok hated Trump. You didn't know that before he was made part of your team? Mueller responded, I did not know that. And when I found out about it, I acted swiftly to have him reassigned. Questioning went on about whether or not Mueller knew that or ordered any text messages deleted. Mueller said, no, those were not deleted. They were part of an ongoing internal investigation. So that's a big talking point that's been out there, that these text messages were somehow deleted.
Absolutely not true.
And Mueller says it's absolutely not true. The other thing is, remember President Trump had said many times that Mueller was conflicted because he was interviewing for the FBI director position?
Yep.
Mueller was asked if he was, in fact, meeting with Trump as an interview for the FBI director position. He said, no, that's not true. He was. It was not an interview. It was a discussion of who he was going to name the FBI director.
Louis Gohmert, by the way, a congressman from Texas who hates everybody, and the public statements are bad enough. I'd love to see his private text messages. Nonetheless, we continue. A Republican speaking now. Martha Roby from Alabama. We're going to have to break one more time. We'll come back with more during the newscast and Steve, which is next.
A reminder, the former special counsel Robert Mueller hearings on Capitol Hill this morning in a break right now, but you can find them continuous coverage online at WGNradio.com, and we'll dip in when highlights present themselves here moving forward this morning.
Are we in a break now? Is
we
that
are,
the deal?
Yes.
The okay.
Order. I'm Steve Krasanich in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's 9:08. I look forward to this every year. This guy, Nick, he comes and he classes up the joint, doesn't he?
You know what he just told me?
Uh-uh.
You know what day this is?
What day is it?
Hump day.
It's hump day. Lean in, man. Nick Lorenz is here as a representative of Special Olympics. He comes by every year because Duck Derby is coming up. How are you, Nick?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
How's your summer?
Good.
Would you tell people what you presented me with? Because I'm very honored by this.
I present you with a gold medal because you're a supporter of Special Olympics Illinois.
And I'm going to continue to be.
Of course.
I think it's very important. And who's your friend here?
Alex from Special Olympics.
And Alex, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, too. Thanks for having us.
Let's start out with a plug right away for the Ducks. What do we do?
All right. It's time for the Chicago Ducky Derby. It's coming up on August 8th. We are dropping 65,000 rubber ducks into the Chicago
Reserve. That's a lot of ducks.
Yeah, we upped it a little bit. We sold out last year, so now we're up to 65,000. So those will drop off the Wabash Bridge, and they'll race to state on August 8th, and you can adopt your duck at ChicagoDuckyDerby.com.
ChicagoDuckyDerby.com. And this all the money all goes to Special Olympics. What do you win, by the way, if your duck wins?
A Chevy Equinox.
Yep, that's
nice. You know, I'm a Chevy guy. You know that.
Of course.
ChicagoDuckyDerby.com. All right, Nick, now tell everybody how you're involved in this, because you are a superior athlete. What are your sports?
Golf. Well, me and my dad just had a unified golf tournament, but we lost by 3 strokes.
Oh! It's a mean game. All right, else besides golf?
But we got to be flexible.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Bumps in the road, that's all. What other thing? You do something other than golf. Don't you do track? Don't you run? Or what do you do?
Volleyball, basketball, bocce.
It's a four-sport guy. Yeah, you're busy. For all the folks involved in Special Olympics and the volunteers, obviously the athletes, it's an extremely important organization, and it's nothing but fun if you go out and see an event. And this is a huge fundraiser, right? Is this the biggest of the year?
Yeah, it's our biggest single-day fundraiser of the year.
Well, that's great. Now, Nick, I can buy a quack pack again?
Of course.
And how many ducks are in a quack pack? Can you guys tell me?
6 for $25.
Oh, I can do better.
I'm up to 1,200 ducks.
I can do better than a quack pack. Give me a bigger number. What comes after a quack pack?
A flock.
A flock? How many in a flock?
100.
I got it. A flock. How many for 100? How much?
Is that $100? I think it's
$100.
$100 for 100 ducks.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 25 ducks.
25.
Oh, it's 25 ducks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, that sounds like some crazy Amazon price based on the math.
Yeah.
All right, so 25 ducks.
Can I say something, Steve?
Sure, of course.
Well, me and my dad and my friend Matt and his dad, we went to Cleveland for my first MLB All-Star game.
You went to the All-Star game? Look at that, man. How much fun was that?
It was awesome. I got to see Joan Jett and the Blackhearts perform, too.
At the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's a Cleveland girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame there?
Yeah, she rocked it.
Did she?
Yeah, and there was fireworks afterwards. What a great finale.
Did she shred it?
Oh, yeah, she did awesome.
There you go, Dave.
I wish you were there to see the fireworks with me, Steve.
I wish I would have as well. Dave, shredding is what you do on a guitar.
Oh, okay.
I just want to let you in on the conversation.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So, Nick, tell people why this duck thing's so great. Why is it important to buy a duck?
Well, it's a lot of support of a Special Mix Illinois.
And it's a big deal, not just to you, but all the other athletes, too.
Yeah, it's all the athletes.
You got a lot of friends involved with this, right?
Yeah.
You want to say hi to a couple of them?
Yeah, I'm going to say to my dad. He's having a procedure today, so I want to wish him good luck.
Oh, it's good. Are we okay, Mom? This is right. Okay, he's having a procedure. Well, procedures, you know, anytime you use the word procedure, you know, yeah, good luck, I think, is appropriate. So good luck, Dad. Because he's usually around.
Yeah.
Is he going to be back on a golf course with you soon?
Yes, soon.
All right, good.
And I want to say hi to my special rec science program. I know they're listening.
Okay.
I want to say hi to my classmates from my hometown.
No, I haven't seen you in about 6 months or so. You married now?
No.
Not yet. Still looking?
Yeah, well, no... I have a new girlfriend named Ella. You know about Ella.
I've heard about Ella.
Yeah, so we're dating now.
All right, well, good. And, you know, be nice to a lady and listen to what she has to say, right? That's the rule?
Yeah, well, her sister just got engaged, so we're going to the wedding.
Wow.
Nice. Okay, that's a big step.
I'll tell you what, Nick, we got to stay in contact over this one now, right?
Yeah.
She sells a lot of ducks, too.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
How many she sold?
What do you think Ella's up to?
Like, say, maybe 24 or 25?
Mm-hmm, probably 2,400. They compete.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good competition
to
have.
A healthy competition, yeah.
All right, so get yourself a quack pack, get yourself a flock. I rarely say that, don't I?
No, well, actually, you have never said that I can think. You've said quack pack.
Yes, but a flock
is different.
Let's make a serious investment here. Get yourself a flock. I think I got two flocks last year. Didn't I do two flocks last year? I probably should go three flocks.
Hey, Dave Arnett.
Wow. Yes.
I just met Jim Cornelison from the Blackhawks at NASCAR.
He's been kind of, he was at the Indy 500. So this was at Chicagoland Speedway?
Well, every year they do like a trek party outside of the track.
Okay.
So I was right in front of the country western stage. Yeah. And Jim Knudsen was sitting right by the stage, and there he was.
He's a very nice guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, I want to say hi to him, too, and all
the
White Hawks.
Nick, do you have a good voice? Can you sing? But you sing for fun, I hope.
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah. What kind of music do you like?
Country Western, rock.
You name it? Like, what's your favorite song? Do you have one?
I like Bob Seger Old Time Rock and Roll.
You know the secret of Bob Seger Old Time Rock and Roll? It makes white people dance at a wedding. I don't know if you know that. They just can't help themselves. Well, they get up and dance.
There's a band that's going to be at the Duck Race, Seventh Heaven.
Okay.
So I get to go backstage and meet everybody. And
dude,
that's cool.
You're a rock star, man. You are unbelievable. All right, so a 5x4 flocks. Can I get 100 ducks?
Whoa.
Four flocks for 100 ducks,
course,
right?
Of course, Steve.
That's not 100. Is that 100 ducks?
Yeah, 25.
So it'd be
four flocks. I want to say hi to your granddaughter, Abigail. I know she's listening.
Yes, that's right. And you gave us a nice present for her.
Hi, Abigail.
Thanks, pal. And she got a new little brother on the way. So it won't be long before we'll have plenty of people to buy ducks for.
I want to say congratulations to Abigail on her big birth coming. So I want to say congratulations to her, too.
Yep, and her mom and her dad and everybody. Well, it's great to see you, buddy.
Congrats to you both.
Yeah, thanks, man. You're the best. So I'm getting four flocks.
Wow.
Everybody step up. At least get a quack pack and a couple of flocks.
Oh,
what?
Gosh.
I'm going to ease my way in with a couple of quack packs.
You're going to go two quack packs and maybe, you see how that goes from there.
Yeah.
I want to see how to Mary Vanderbilt, too. I know she's listening.
Hey, what about Mary Sandberg?
Of course.
You know, she's a boss now.
I just saw her in the hallway.
Yeah, she's a boss now. She's a big shot. Yeah. She's allegedly in charge of the show now. Do you think I should listen to her?
Of course.
Oh,
she's your
answer.
Boss.
It's not the answer I was
looking
for.
But if Nick tells you to listen to her,
I'll listen to Nick.
You want to listen to
her. I'll listen to Nick. I don't know that I'll listen to Sandberg, but I'll listen to Nick. It's great to see you, buddy. So when's the event again?
August 8th at 1 o'clock on Fox.
All right, 1 o'clock. And where do we dump the ducks?
At Wabash Bridge.
How do they do that, by the way? They just roll the truck up and dump them in?
Yeah.
Well, these two athletes have a lever that gets ready for the truck that dumps the ducks into the river.
It's tremendous. All right, and again, website to buy the ducks.
ChicagoDuckDerby.com.
And how do we make sure you get credit for the ducks?
You just go under my name.
Is there a team name, Mom? Yeah,
what's your
name? Darling Ducklings.
The Darling Ducklings.
Right.
All right, Darling Ducklings.
Nick's number one.
And Nick is number one. And, I'd like to spread the love here with your girlfriend, but I don't know that I can get off your team. You know, I'm more of a Darling Duckling guy.
And you need your support.
I know, for you. Yeah, I'm saying. I just want your girlfriend to be mad because I'm giving you all the support. It's great to see both of you. Thank you for all the work you do every day and everybody at the Special Olympics of Illinois.
Thank you.
By the way, for the general website there, what is it?
SOILL.org.
That's two L's.
Yes.
Soil with an L.
Right.
SOILL.
Right. So ill.
For that, .org. ChicagoDuckyDerby.com. Nick's team is Darling Ducklings. And I hope you can come out and support it as well. It's pretty cool, by the way. You get to see it happen. It's all the ducks in the river.
It's a fun event. We look forward to it every year.
All right, Nick. Nice to see you, buddy.
Nice to meet you, Steve.
All right, be well.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Rosanich monitoring the Mueller hearing. Enough good news with Nick. Let's get back to the bad news in D.C. What's your assessment? How do you think it's going so far?
I think it's, we made a little bit of progress with Mueller answering questions about Don McGahn and also from Republicans about the Peter Strzok incident and deleted text messages. But the not answering questions and referring to the report, it seems to be a regular answer now. As a matter of fact, the folks at ABC News who are monitoring some of this behind the scenes say so far there have been 21 instances of Mueller, at least 21, saying I refer to the report or I'll leave that to our report. 10 instances of Mueller, at least 10, probably more by now, of Mueller asking members to repeat their questions, having trouble hearing them, of either that or not paying close enough attention to questions being asked. Some of these questions are obviously long and rambling as well. So there's a lot of, from my standpoint, listening here and trying to monitor, a lot of confusion, but a couple of nuggets here and there in terms of trying to show the American people what, he meant by one thing or another.
Yeah, neither one of us have had a chance to give Robert Mueller a full physical, but I can tell you at 58, I don't hear like I used to from wearing headphones every day. And this appears to be a hearing thing, not some fragility thing on the part of Bob Mueller.
So shall we dip back in and hear a little more on
this? Yeah, let's do that.
All right, we're going to break for the news here, or the other news, I suppose, it's in the day. But, Steve, I want to remind everybody, along with what you're listening to, of course, is the Mueller hearings, uninterrupted at WGNRadio.com. It's starting to get a little uglier now. And for those of you wondering why Mr. Mueller may be stumbling here and there, he has 2 years' worth of work where he's trying to stick to the exact detail, where these members of Congress have 5 minutes to cherry-pick whatever they want. That's why he seems to be stalling. That's why he seems to be trying to find the right place, because he is, in my opinion, making an effort to do the right thing. People like Matt Gaetz, the congressman from Florida, are spending most of their time auditioning for a Fox News role. But this will continue. It will go back and forth. I don't know if the Democrats have done what they wanted or the Republicans have done what they wanted. But for those of you watching and listening to this, we will continue to present it to you. And tomorrow on the program, during our regular political segment, we'll have a lot more on this as well. And our friend Pat Brady's on Channel 9 all day.
And Steve, I just want to interject something here about what you just said. It was asked earlier of him, of Bob Mueller, by the Republicans, whether or not he had any advanced knowledge of any of the questions from the Democrats. And the answer to that question was no. So he's really flying blind here in terms of
right.
what question is going to be asked. It's gone from one part of the 400-page report to another page of the. So it's been all over the place.
And keep in mind, to the best of my knowledge, not putting words in your mouth, Steve, but to the best of my knowledge, through very good sources in Washington, the vast majority of the members of Congress, including members of this committee, have in all likelihood not read the report. Let's get to the news here on WGN Radio.
Over the course of my career, I have seen a number of challenges to our democracy. The Russian government's effort to interfere in our election is among the most serious. And as I said on May 29th, this deserves the attention of every American.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Texter said, seems like the GOP is hanging themselves by attacking Mueller's credibility. This is a guy that's been built up by both parties as a straight-shooting American with high moral standards. It basically looks like Mueller is confirming the Dems' questions of this report. Well, it looks like the GOP are attacking an older guy who has given all for his country. The opinion is sound. And Rokan joins us now. I assume you're watching this train wreck?
I am, yeah. It's
and guys,
really something.
There was just a piece that I want to bring to your attention while we were in the break there, while we were in the news. Republican Congressman Ken Buck asked Mueller if Trump could be charged with a crime after he leaves office. Mueller responded yes to that. Again, it's just a question about how things might proceed going forward, but it's one of those questions that a Republican asked that he probably wasn't expecting to get that answer from Mueller in return.
Can I just stop for a second on that? There's an important point of what was going on there. That congressman was trying to take him down the
yep.
road of why didn't you charge him with obstruction of justice when you already made a decision that there wasn't actually a conspiracy, you couldn't prove a conspiracy. Why didn't you say you couldn't prove obstruction of justice? And he said, well, we could, essentially, is what Mueller said. And he goes, well, then why didn't you charge him? And he said, well, because the Office of Legal Counsel said we couldn't. And they said, well, would you charge? And then I don't know why the congressman did this. he's going to get tweeted at by the president today because, well, would you charge him when he's out of office? And he said, yes.
He just walked him right down the road.
Yeah.
I just want to reemphasize something here. Bob Mueller's a lifetime Republican. And in a world of I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat and you're not, he has done his job to the best of his ability in an absolutely insane, upside down world like I've never seen in Washington. And again, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to cherry pick from the report with the congressional staff your particular 5 minutes from either party with a guy who's got to know the entire report inside out, who clearly has a hearing problem at this stage in his life. And then, I mean, if you look at Twitter right now, oh, it's so sad. So many people are saying it's so sad to see Mueller. Mueller's not what he used to be. Who is? This guy is a rock star, and he continues to be a rock star. And however this turns out today, I think he has comported himself very well, considering the joke that these congressional hearings have become.
Well, we're in such uncharted territory, and I know that that's trite, right? Because it doesn't really begin to catch this turning point moment in America, that we have got to decide what's truth. And will truth be enforced? Will the rule of law be enforced? One thing, you know, we've for years gotten away with, whether it was, you know, talk radio or cable news or whatever, people stretching the truth or saying something that was, you know, just intended to get phone calls, right? Because there's nothing, you and I
have never done a show like that.
Right. I mean, that's, but isn't that the truth? That a lot of the policies that we have today were policies that came out of talk radio because talk shows were afraid not to take phone, were afraid that there would be no phone calls, they'd say something outrageous.
Start a fire.
Now it's become public policy.
There's no question about it.
And it's, and to me, we're now in a point where what you, the truth is only what your team says is the truth. There is no independent verification of a fact. And that is a really scary moment for the world.
If we wind the clock back to when Mueller was appointed, both sides tripped over themselves, saying what an honorable, respectful, heroic figure this is, and this is the perfect guy to go through this investigation. Through the course of it, let's just throw out the fact that he's compromised. Let's throw out all the nonsense that's come out of the president's mouth to try to cloud this. 34 people have been charged. 7 have pled guilty. 1 was convicted at trial. 5 are in jail, and of the others, they're awaiting sentence. That's done by one of the finest criminal investigators, former director of the FBI, and somebody that's given his life to service in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, the president has been acting like he's been trying to hide something since the moment he got into office. Innocent people don't act that way. And the only reason, and I think it's been stated again and again today, and it's in the report, the only reason he's not indicted is because of a policy at the Department of Justice that's never been court tested. That's it.
That's true. That is true. But I think it's also decided at a lot of levels here that would you put the United States through that at a very tender moment in world history. And the president likes to, you know, run away with that. You know, let's face it. The other piece, and I get it, you know, there are people who just love the idea that the president is the president because they like his economic policies, they like his social policies, they like his border policies, they like a lot of different things that all appeal to them, right? And sort of in total, they appeal to him, to them. Where we sit now with this is the president just yesterday is suing the government to try to keep them from getting his tax returns.
Right.
Now, again, back to that issue of what does he have to hide? I mean, everybody else has given their tax return.
Right.
He refuses to do it. Now, his are going to be more complicated. They're going to have to look at the difference between his corporate and his personal tax returns. I get all of that. But the real question is, we want to know why it is that the president, maybe he does it because he thinks it's dramatic and it's fun and it continues to create more energy on his protective, you know, his team side to see him under siege all the time. But we just want to know something. What does he have anything that compromises him in a business way to foreign governments, to Deutsche Bank, which, you know, seems to be sort of at the center of all this, whether it's stuff that was going on with the Russians or whether it's Jeffrey Epstein or any of the rest of those things that are now sort of breaking up. And I know I sound like a crazy guy on a street corner throwing all these things out, but
they're all relevant.
That's the piece that all the investigators, were there still investigations, would be looking at.
And muddying the water doesn't begin to describe what's been thrown into the middle of this, because the two questions that are elucidated in the report are the two questions that matter. Did the Russians interfere with this government and with our election? And what did we do about it? What are we doing about it now? And is the president of the United States operating under a criminal enterprise? No, none of that was proven. But did he try to end this investigation? Did he obstruct justice? Absolutely. And the only reason he's not indicted is because of what we already talked about, because of a rule, not a law, a rule and a policy at the Department of Justice, now being run by an attorney general who seems so in the pocket of Donald Trump his pants could barely fit. Okay, not a great analogy, but you know what I'm saying.
I hear you, and his pants don't fit. But here's the issue that we're going to. Did the Russians, to your point, did the Russians interfere? If they did, were the Trump folks, the campaign people, suspicious of that? And if they were suspicious of it, did they do anything about it? And maybe they didn't, and maybe that's not criminal, but did they, were they cheerleading even quietly for it from the sidelines? And what are they going to do about this next election? Will they be, will they try to defend democracy in the United States, even if the, those malign actors are trying to help them?
And it's going on right now, kids. It started here. Illinois was the first state that was hit by the Russians. And it's going on right now again, leading into next year. I'll let you go on this. Granted, I'm not a fan of either party, but the Democrats, I don't think, have struck a blow here of any significance, have they?
Not so far, I don't think. I mean, you know, again, we don't anticipate that the people that were analyzing where this was going to go based on what they knew about the report and about, you know, the plans by the Congress, the Democrats and the Republicans, how they were going to tackle this. Because, you know, there's another hearing coming up.
Right.
Moving to another hearing.
It's got about 90 minutes to, well, less than that now, 45 minutes to go. There's a break and then 2 more hours.
Right. In another hearing room with different congressmen, some different congressmen. So at the end, the question that we all have to wrestle with here is, are they doing our job? You know, are they doing the job that we sent them to Washington to do? And is this just pure politics, or was there something really to be looked at here? Mueller certainly seems to indicate that there was something to be looked at here, because the bombshell, as Steve Grzanich just told us, was about 12-14 minutes ago when the Republican congressman walked his way into asking Robert Mueller if the president can be indicted after he leaves office, and Robert Mueller said yes.
Yeah. Set him up like a beautiful tee shot, middle of the fairway row on a bright sunny day.
Was it meaning for that fairway, though? That was the problem.
Yeah. No, that's true. He hit it 2 fairways over. You're exactly right. Texter says, you 2 idiots don't like the president. You never have and you never will, so you're so negative about all this, you'd rather have had Hillary. Oh, come
on. Let
me
just say this. Let me say this about this texter. You're a moron.
Yeah, you're so lazy. Please. I don't know about you, Ro. I have never once in the last 2.5 years said the words, I'd rather have had Hillary. Donald Trump didn't win this White House. Hillary Clinton lost it as the worst candidate maybe in American history.
Whether only or not one person who could have lost to Donald Trump. And
it happened to be her. This has never, ever, ever been about Hillary Clinton. And the only people keeping Hillary Clinton's name in this and alive are Donald Trump and the Republicans.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people are going to criticize us because we're standing up for something that's absolutely true. And I don't want to play whataboutism. I don't do any of that. I just don't want people to look at the facts. I want them to look at how we got here, what was being done. You could talk about Page and Strzok. You could talk about Steele. You could talk about mendacity and all of those things, or about the desire that some of those people had. But when you look at this, there were those. You're looking at just just a few people out of dozens and dozens and dozens of lawyers and officials and investigators and people who are sworn by the Justice Department to do the right thing, including Robert Mueller. This is what they came up with. And it's, and I, you know, you, we, I, anybody, I just want to know, for anybody who thinks that this is solely just about, you're going to take my guy down, look at your guy.
That's it.
That's it.
How about the bare minimum, asking for the President of the United States to say the integrity of this office matters, do all the investigating you want, I will do whatever I can to help you because I want to prove that I'm innocent, because America deserves that, and not a fight at every turn. You'll do a lot of this later, but what else on the show?
Well, A.B. Stoddard will be here with us.
Wow, she's great
to discuss this. So
yeah, she's great.
Do. And then the hilarity and fun starts after 5 o'clock.
And I believe it's Anna DeVellante's birthday today.
You would believe correctly. You ruined the surprise party.
Did you appreciate the fact that I reminded you that you had to go out and get a present?
You just told him.
Out of fairness, there has already been a text exchange with the whole team except for her, okay, deciding what we're going
to
be doing.
Well, I hate to break it to you, she already knew it was her birthday.
Damn it.
See you, man.
See ya.
Could you charge the president with a crime after he left office?
Yes.
You believe that he committed, you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office?
Yes.
That's a Republican congressman stepping in it. I don't know, 30 minutes or so ago. Steve will do the news here in just a second. Steve, outside of the newscast, you've been able to monitor this more than I have in the midst of the show. Any take in particular we ought to be aware of?
Well, you know, I think this whole thing is about America kissing its sister.
It does look like a tie, doesn't it?
It's more of that today. People are going to hear what they want to hear. The Republicans are using their time to, you know, try to berate Mueller. The Democrats are begging Mueller to answer a question, which he won't really do. So they're using up all their time sort of filling in the blanks that Mueller's not doing himself. So we're really not hearing much at all from the special counsel. And that seems to be the special counsel's choice.
Texters, from the 217, I would relate as a Republican, but if there was a better candidate than Hillary, I likely would have voted for them. I voted for Trump. I like a fair amount of the stuff he's done with the economy, but he's an idiot. And when it comes to social media and several other things, I just hope we have someone decent to vote for in 2020. God help us all. And this, which I think is really, really, really well stated. 520, the whole proceeding is less about Trump, although he's the focus, and more about whether we're still a democracy. I wish there was more emphasis on that. We seem to be in a cultural crisis about democracy itself, and that's frightening way beyond Donald Trump. Some smart people.
That was profound.
Very smart people in this audience.
Yeah.
Bill F.
Well, see what I can do to ruin that. I'll knock that wall down if I can.
I'm told that you will be you and Harry Tonowitz in for Wendy will be on. You'll be analyzing is what you'll be doing.
Yeah.
Every sentence
for
the remainder of these hearings. Is that right?
We got Harry in. He thought we said herring instead of hearing.
So I love herring.
About herring. So close. Sometimes one syllable is all it takes. You know.
If you could convince Harry this was a sporting match of some sort,
right,
then you'd have yourself some analysis.
I heard you and Dave on with Jeremy Colleton, you know, the Blackhawks coach, and I'm thinking, like, we should do a Mueller convention.
Mm.
All the people we could get there, all the different things we could do, autograph sessions with all the Trump firees.
Can't miss.
Can you imagine if you're a Vietnam War hero, you're the former director of the FBI.
Yes.
You've given your life to your country. You're a Purple Heart winner. You've saved men from dying in the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
You were asked to give 2 years of your life at a stage in your life where you really could have gone fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting here having these idiots smack you in the face, and you're supposed to remain respectful.
Yeah.
Remember Michael Douglas and falling down?
Yes, I do.
Yes, at any point now.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on.
I have a button shirt that's like lavender and lime, and it's all different colors and directions. And my wife refers to it as my falling down shirt.
Where you've just finally lost it. What do you mean breakfast ends at 10:30? We're back tomorrow, and a whole bunch of this to talk about with Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein. Here's Bill.